Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay,
and ladylike. Previously on Minority Corner.
What happened? It was a whole week ago.
So long ago.
Such a long time ago.
So we talked about missing women in Mexico.
They're still missing.
Still missing.
What else did we talk about? It was my issue. What did I say?
What did you say?
I don't remember. It was a whole entire fucking week ago. All I remember is that Ava DuVernay. Oh, yeah. Oh, we talked about what's her face in the teen feud.
Yes, Amanda.
And fuck you, Adam Cohen.
Andy.
Yeah, him too. Let's go back in time.
Whoa.
Get ready for a special episode of Minority Corner, the nostalgia episode.
I got my JNCOs on.
Oh my god.
I got my puka shell necklace on.
I've got my, what do you call them? Anal beads.
Oh yeah, your silver bead necklace.
I love that you knew what I was talking about.
Of course I knew.
Didn't even question it.
Not at all.
I've got my chain. I still have a chain.
Hey.
Do you know, I used to love my JNCOs.
Everybody did.
But I was told once that I can't wear those. Do you know why?
Why?
Someone told me that JNCOs stand for jeans niggas can't own.
Whoever told you that was racist, that's totally not what it stands for.
And I stopped wearing my JNCOs.
That is definitely not what it stands for.
I didn't wear another pair of JNCOs until I played Clueless. I played Murray in Clueless. You saw.
Yeah, the drag performance.
We did a drag version at the Big Castro Theater.
That was great.
Willem was in it.
Willem was in it.
Was terrible.
Was so mean.
Willem.
We tried to talk to Willem.
I honestly don't care if you're listening. I hope you are.
You're mean.
You're mean.
Be
you
nice.
Didn't even try to learn the part of Cher.
I know.
Didn't really learn your lines. It was a disaster. So,
it was mean.
Willem's from RuPaul's Drag Race. Apparently won. I don't know. I don't watch the show.
Whatever.
Anyways, but you know what? I'm going to wear my JNCOs anyways.
Yeah, because it does not mean that.
So.
I hope not. Somebody look it up. Tell us.
And
tweet us.
If it dies,
oh my God.
Fuck you, JNCO.
I know. I'm glad you're out
fuck
of business.
You.
I'm glad you're out of business.
Before we get to Nostalgia Land.
Yeah. Let's do short-term nostalgia.
Well, short-term nostalgia. You went to
I went to L.A.
Mexico. No, L.A.
I went to close to Mexico, but not quite
not
there. Still
quite
in California.
In cute.
Me and my friend Heather. Shout out to Heather.
Shout out to Heather. Thanks for the invite, ladies.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's a girl's thing.
It was a girl, you know, just letting her hair
when's
out.
Our trip? Oh, my therapist said.
Yes.
Because you... I'm gonna talk about reality TV later.
Okay.
My therapist said that I should do reality TV, and he said I should be on The Amazing Race.
Oh, that would be great.
But you and I have always talked about
we have
going
and how we'd
on
always
The Amazing
get
Race.
Lost.
And Neke and I used to get lost in a park.
Nostalgia Corner, Neke James
corner.
Version.
Yeah.
Version.
We would drive around and go movie hopping.
Movie hopping.
And then we'd get lost in the parking lot.
We wouldn't know where the fuck we were.
It'd take us like 20 minutes to get out. And so what would happen, like if we were in The Amazing Race, we'd be like, all right, here we go. And then it'd just be us circling the parking lot with some like intense Jerry Bruckheimer
dun, dun,
music.
Dun, 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 dun.
Which way do we go?
Dun, 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 dun.
I think that arrow looks familiar. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm hungry.
Dun, 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 dun. And that's how...
But that's basically how it would go.
And I would hope that somehow they would just... We would keep accidentally not getting... Being last...
Like we find the shortcuts?
We somehow, like, would still not be, like... We just inch our way along to the final three.
And we just managed to do it.
Accidentally win.
Did you know that we went to college with one of the winners of The Amazing
I thought you were
going
to say, did you know that we went to college together?
Well, that's a given.
It's like, yes.
That's how we know each other.
I did not know that.
Tyler, what's his last name?
Oh, yes, you're right.
He's like a year older than me. He has red hair. I vaguely knew him. He probably doesn't know me. Because I'm creepy like that.
Okay.
And I never assume people know who I am.
Right.
But... He was a year ahead of me. He hung out with the cool kids, and he went on
hey,
Amazing Race.
Hey, you hung out with the cool kids.
That's
me.
True. Younger cool kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop that.
But anyways, we should totally go on the Amazing Race.
I would do it with you.
And we have a name. We're podcasters.
That's true.
We're not just friends. We're podcasters from the Bay Area.
is.
So
we would be ridiculous. Would that be cool? They would, you know what?
I think we should audition.
I think we should audition.
We're going to look it up. So if you guys beat us to it, go ahead and help us. Send us some information on how to audition for the Amazing
Hashtag
Race.
Hashtag MK Amazing Race.
Let's start that. Okay, we're going to start a hashtag called hashtag MK Amazing Race.
Because mm-hmm. if you don't know what we look like, we like to flail a lot and we make a lot of facial expressions.
Yeah.
So we're way more entertaining in person.
Ugh, if only you could see these faces. Look at the face I'm making now. Very cute. Oh, I'm sorry. You went to LA.
Yes. So me and Heather had our own little secret Amazing Race.
Ooh.
Wasn't secret. Trip down to LA.
You told me you were going.
I know. It's true.
Told everybody.
All right. I lied. So we went down there and it was fun. It was very LA. It was the first time I went as an adult.
What does that mean?
Like, okay. So here's
explain it to how you would explain it to someone who lives in LA.
So we went out to eat,
mm-hmm.
and it was at this one place called the Rabbit and the Hare or something weird like that.
Oh, my.
The turtle and the, I don't know.
Turtle hair.
And it was fancy, but not that fancy, like communal seating, but like a prefixed menu with like, you know, appetizer, entree, Whoa. And dessert.
So it's like on one end, they're trying to like scale it down.
Yeah, like whatever.
But then the prices are like fucking.
Here's some bone marrow for you to eat.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so there's that. Well, so no we're one eating really there.
Eats in LA. They're all like actors.
Yeah, they
kind
of nibble. And so we're eating and our waitress was hella cute.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like very bubbly. And we're like, oh, let's ask her where to go. We're like, where should we go? And she was like, oh, you guys are looking for something casual, which we didn't say.
But she could tell probably because
we weren't dressed fancy. We were in our cute dresses, but
for
whatever.
San Francisco
lady.
Bay Area. San Francisco got voted worst dressed
we're
metropolis
so
city.
We're so casual.
Yeah, we got voted worst dressed city. My roommate, she would get dressed to like go to the grocery store because she was from New York. And you don't get out of bed.
No, my family's from New York, and they think I'm such a
like
bum.
A homeless
like
lady.
A bum.
You're like a bag lady.
Yes,
in their eyes.
They're like I'm wearing a frock. They're like you look like. You belong in a gutter.
You weren't even wearing pants last week.
Who needs pants?
Exactly. That's the Bay Area way.
So, we're there, and she was like, you guys want casual? We're like, okay, sure, we'll take some casual. I know.
Fuck you.
And she was like, you guys would love this place. It's called Laurel Hardware. It used to be a hardware store, but they didn't change anything. They just put a bar in there.
So you're telling me that hipsters also exist in LA?
Wait for it.
Because that's like the most hipstery thing ever.
Wait for it. Oh, so me God, and Heather are like, oh, okay, this could be cool. So we go there, and there's a sign up front that says Laurel Hardware, like a hardware store.
Yeah.
You go inside. It looks nothing like a hardware
Stop
store.
Stop it.
It looks nothing. It's
so
like.
So LA can't even be a
they
hipster
can't even,
correctly.
They can't. It's like so deconstructed.
Oh, God.
There's like a bouncer that's like, yeah, come on back. Come on back.
Stop it.
You walk through. There's like hanging light fixtures and like beautiful exposed wood and like curved iron. People are in their fucking high heels. Most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life.
Just
the DJ
But they're
playing.
Not like, just like, I want this hammer. Like,
no, me and Heather were joking. We were like, oh, this antique bottle display must have been where they had the spark plugs.
Oh my gosh. That's so crazy. Because like, at first, it's funny because just when I rolled my eyes one way, because I thought like, oh great,
mm-hmm.
here's a hipster bar that turned.
You were
that would
thinking
totally,
San Francisco.
That would happen in San Francisco.
You're thinking San Francisco.
You know, you turn a hardware store into a bar, and it's like, oh look, we've got tools.
Yeah.
And then I rolled my eyes back the other way from whence they came from because this sounds even worse.
They can't even fucking do it.
Oh God.
So that was LA experience. I also went to a really cool speakeasy bar, but I'm not going to tell people because it's just too cool and I don't want to ruin it.
Whoa.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, tell me. Sorry, guys.
Sorry
y'all.
But it's called No Vacancy. If you find yourself in LA, look up No Vacancy, go to it. It's cool. It
you just told them that you weren't going to tell them and then you
no,
told them.
No, I'm not
going to
tell them about it.
Oh, okay. All right.
You got to find out.
Oh, that
it's
sounds
No
cool.
Vacancy. It's all really right. cool. And then the last thing that happened in LA... Me and Heather, I thought I saw Jeff Goldblum down the street.
You were obsessed with him.
Only because I thought I saw him.
You wanted my celebrity crush, who is still Michael Sam. Did you see
him?
That
was such a long time
ago.
Did
you see Michael Sam?
It was a week ago. I don't remember.
Well, a few weeks ago, you were obsessed about Jeff Goldblum. And I was and I'm still obsessed about Michael Sam. Did you see Michael Sam, my boyfriend?
What did he do?
He was in LA.
Oh, I didn't see him. I know I didn't. I wish I did. I'm sorry.
Well, your LA story doesn't interest me anymore.
No, this is going to bring your interest back.
Okay, all right, I'm in.
So we were a little disappointed that we didn't see anybody else.
Yeah, because I hear, like, L.A., you can't, like, throw a stick without hitting some celebrity in the eye.
And that was proven correct, because as we were on our way out of L.A., driving to the freeway... L.A. was like,
hold on, see this.
Here's one more thing. A Maserati zooms right around us.
Oh, my God, like in the Britney Spears song, do you want a Bugatti? Do you want a Maserati?
Yes.
Oh, that's... You better work, bitch. Was someone working?
No.
Were they being a bitch?
Maybe.
Okay, so they're living up to it.
So they zoom around us, and they're stopped at the light. And so we slowly, you know, jalopy up to the light next to them.
Why are you whispering?
Because it's a secret. It's okay. It's good stuff.
All right.
I look over to my left.
Uh-huh.
And who's in the passenger seat of the car?
Jeff Goldblum.
The guy from LMFAO.
Oh my God, you just bamboozled me. Wait, where the fuck was Jeff Goldblum driving him?
No, Jeff Goldblum was a whole nother thing. I thought I just saw him down the street smoking a cigarette outside of his house.
Oh my gosh, well, that was anticlimactic.
Hey!
The guy from LMFO, how does he look? Does he still look hot?
He looked exactly the same. He was wearing those white frame glasses.
How did you recognize? I don't even think I could pick him out of a lineup.
You could totally recognize him.
He looks like probably like almost a lot of LA guys.
He looks like Sideshow Bob. What do you think? With some fucking white glasses.
Was it like the muscly guy one?
No, it was like Red Foo, the guy Fool or whatever his name is. The one with the red fro.
He's not as interesting. Because there was like... The really hot guy in LMFO. Oh, you know who I'm thinking of?
Who are you thinking of?
Good thing we're in Nostalgia Corner.
Uh-oh.
What was the name of that pop band, those three white guys who rapped?
Oh, I like... Chicken Chow Mein.
They were something... Weren't they... Their letters were like LFO.
LFO.
That's who...
Not even B-level boy band. That's why I was very
shocked and surprised that you were like, we saw the guy from LFO. And I'm like, how the fuck did you recognize that you saw LFO?
LFMAO has been around.
You see why I got confused.
Yes, I do. But do you know who LMFAO?
Hello.
I'm sexy and hello. I know it.
I only choreographed my first flash mob through Barry Flash Mob doing Party Rock.
Right? Oh, that's right. Yeah. So you know. So I saw that guy.
Oh, that's cool. That's fine. Jeff Goldblum wasn't driving him.
No.
Here's what I wish had happened. Yes. Jeff Goldblum was driving him.
Okay.
He's sitting in the passenger side.
Yeah.
And the dude from LFO is sitting in the back seat.
That would be tight. That would be a trifecta.
The ultimate LA weird ass picture.
And then fucking LFO. M-A-O dude. I'm having a hard time saying that.
It's a hard one.
Looks out the window and he goes, shots, everybody.
And then the other guy's like, I like Michael J. Fox.
I know, this is the worst.
They were the worst.
They were... Perfect. Gold star to anybody who remembers LFO.
Apparently I do. And Jeff Goldblum's just there like...
I like girls who wear Abercrombie and Fitch.
Chinese food makes me sick.
Racist.
Yeah.
Racist.
Oh my God, don't you love it that someone was just like, you know what? Pop music's conquered so much of what black folks have already done, but we haven't gotten rap yet. And they were like, let's send in these three muscly guys to... They did not even write their own raps.
Of course not.
Probably like one of the writers of Sesame Street. Probably that woman.
Like girls who wear Abercrombie and Fitch.
She was like, the woman who's leaving Sesame Street. What's her name?
It was Maria, but then she blew my mind by actually having a real name. So Maria, she's an actress and not a real person that lives on Sesame Street.
And she's won like 18 Emmys. I bet Maria is probably like moonlighting as a writer for LFO.
I really wish so.
That's exactly what happened.
And LFMAO.
So we're going to just Nick and I have been wanting to do this for a long time, a very special episode of Minority Corner, where we just go back in time and talk about a lot of stuff from
the past,
because we didn't have this podcast back then, so we couldn't talk about them. And so it's sort of kind of like, it's sort of how the past meets today. So a lot of things, nostalgia is a huge thing for our generation right now.
Yeah.
Because I think... Well, because we're getting older, so now we're the target demographic for stuff.
It's so true.
Because if you think about it, like, when we were kids, they were, you know, think about all the movies that they would redo.
Right.
They'd redo, like, The Brady Bunch. Or they'd do, Charlie's Angels.
Exactly.
Because that was the demographic that they were going
like,
for.
Like, I mean, I just recently saw a car commercial where the family started singing Weezer song, and I was like, oh, damn it.
That's where we are. Now. That's where we are. So speaking of movies that are going back in time, we never got to talk about this, but Jem is truly outrageous.
Truly outrageous.
Truly, truly outrageous.
We spent a good amount of time just revisiting Jem last year.
Aneke and I used to have wine nights watching Jem and the Holograms. It's amazing.
We're cool.
Oh,
we're
so cool. Friday night, we're watching Jem and the Holograms
Jem and
marathon.
The Holograms and Best, the Misfits.
Best thing ever. And you always knew it was a good episode if Christy Marks, the creator of Jem and the Holograms, mm-hmm. she was credited as the writer.
So good.
So good. The show was insane.
The show was crazy.
And it's so good. And it's like, there's so much like drama and action and adventure. Just like the theme song says, it's like action and adventure, fashion and fame. Yeah.
If you are under 25 and you've never watched an episode of Jem, do yourself a favor. Go to Netflix, watch a couple episodes.
The first six episodes are amazing because it's all like a continuous like plot that is happening.
There is one racist episode, though.
Well, that's later on. Christy Marks had nothing to do with that. Good. In her defense.
In her defense.
Christy Marks, a little history about her.
Yes.
Christy Marks used to be a writer for G.I. Joe. Hmm. And G.I. Joe, that cartoon came off of a lot of like children's cartoons are all about what can we sell kids.
Right.
So the reason why there will always be, I read this article of why there will always be a Spider-Man movie is because his toys do really well. And so there always will be a need to have a Spider-Man movie.
There's going
to
be another one.
Absolutely. But this one will be Marvel.
Yeah.
Well, Marvel will be tied to it. So, but they, so G.I. Joe, the cartoon came out to sell
toys.
Yes. Because it's Hasbro, who's known for toys,
right.
is designing this cartoon.
Right.
So they wanted to do something for girls.
Yeah.
So they came up with Jem.
Las Chicas.
So Christy Marks, she's not necessarily like the owner of this title of Jem, but she came up with the idea.
She's the creator.
She's the creator because she was writing for G.I. Joe and they're like, hey, Christy girl.
Hook us up.
Get us something for the ladies.
She's like, I'm going to take this tab of acid and then I'm going to write this crazy shit.
And I'm going to look at my Lisa Frank wall. And I'm gonna fucking
trip fuck out.
And listening to like MTV in the background.
Yes.
Because all of Jem is like inspired by
music.
There's music. They wanted to create like music videos.
It was
in
all
it.
Music videos. Every episode ended with a music video.
There was at least three. There was like one in the beginning, one in the middle.
Right.
And one towards the end. One of my favorites.
Don't they all just recap what you just watched too?
Somewhat. Or it was sort of like how, it's sort of like, you know, in Glee, they would, that's, or like in musicals, the idea is right. like, people moving have along. To sing to be able, because they're so full with emotion that they have to sing it out.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is, in Jem and the Holograms, to recap if you don't know, Jerrica. Jerrica,
businesswoman. H-I-B-C.
Oh my god, she's absolutely the head bitch in charge. Mm-hmm. She owns not only the Starlight House, which is an orphanage for young girls. Looking out for other ladies. And then she has her sister and then her two friends who also help run the Starlight House.
Yeah, main bitches.
Her dad died. Her dad happened to own Starlight Records. And so there's a huge battle between her and Eric Raymond over Starlight Records. Oh my god. In the first episode, doesn't he slap her?
I think so. He did. The show
and
is
Rio,
truly outrageous.
It's so outrageous. He slaps her because the Misfits.
Mm-hmm. Who is the rival band
rival
of Jem and the Holograms, which we'll get to.
Yes. Featuring Pizzazz, whose real name is Phyllis Gabor. Did you know that?
No, but that's the best name ever.
Yeah, Phyllis Gabor, yeah.
Phyllis Gabor.
And there's three of them, and there's four of Jem and the Holograms.
Still stuck
they eventually
Phyllis
get
Gabor.
A sexy saxophone player who joins the band.
On the Misfits or the Jem and the Holograms?
The Misfits.
Okay.
She plays the saxophone, because the sax was huge back then.
Oh, every 80s song had a sax breakdown. But to get back to Jem...
And when she got slapped by Eric...
Well...
And Rio was standing there doing nothing the entire
that's
time.
That's bullshit. Okay, so Rio is a love interest.
He has purple hair.
He's stupid because he doesn't understand who Jem or Jerrica is.
This is the most frustrating plot. Christy Marks wrote this, like, love triangle. So Jem, Jerrica, and Jem, I'm gonna blow your mind if you don't know this, they're
get ready
the same
for it.
Person.
Hold on. What?
Through this holographic technology that her dad made.
The
they don't really
didn't
explain
understand
it. Computers. They were just like...
If you watch...
Synergy.
If you watch anything like before 1990, they're just like, a computer did this. Like, I watched Mission Impossible, this 1960s show.
Yeah.
And they're like, this computer just made fake money.
You can't do that.
It just popped out of it. What?
My iPhone is very complex computer hand device. Can't make freak money.
Can't make freak money.
It also can't, yeah. If I just whisper, it's showtime synergy. It does not make me transform into a whole other person.
With a magical earring, though, too. She could always touch your magical earring.
So using synergy, she was able to transform into this whole other persona. Only her, really.
Nobody else did.
Well they would change costumes. But, like, it was kind of weird that, like, people weren't like, why wasn't, like, Rio just like, man, you guys know Jem. Like,
I know.
Like, it just...
Rio literally is an idiot.
Fucking idiot. Yeah. And the fact, like, nobody could... Like, there's, like, one episode where she's, like, having to, like... So there's a big love triangle between Jem, Jerrica, who are the same person.
Same person.
And Rio. And one of my favorite music videos...
Yes.
...is a song called... Who is he kissing?
Right.
Who you is he bitch. Kissing? Yes, it's you. And she's singing the song, who is he kissing? Because, like, Jerrica starts to get jealous of Jem because Rio is in love with Jem as well.
But she's the same.
And all she has to do.
With some face makeup and a wig on.
All she has to do is tell him. And she's like, I don't know if I should. And she's so torn. It's like, girl, just tell him. It's gonna, this poor guy is being played by her split personality.
And he's an idiot and he deserves to be played because I recently just changed my hair. I put some braids
who
in.
Who are you?
I know.
Andrew
I put on
must
some
be,
makeup.
Andrew must
like,
be so
who
confused.
Who is a stranger woman
and
in my house?
And Eric, like, and Rio was like really just like, oh my God, I'm in love with two women. But he was kind of getting into it. And he, like, so she could have been catching him up in the act. But
I think that
both
he
of
was,
them, both of them are fucked up.
Yeah, or they're just really kinky.
Can I also
this
just...
This is their, like, play.
But her song, Who Is He Kissing, is the most passionate felt song ever. Who is he kissing? Who is he kiss? You.
You, bitch.
It's fucking you. So we wanted to share all of that just to... Just what a colossal
open
fucking
your eyes.
Disappointment
yeah.
This Jem movie is going to
the
be.
The movie is bullshit. You could have done so much with this movie. Like, look at Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm-hmm.
That movie did a good job of transferring over the cheesy fun cartoon
into,
and making it
yeah.
into a live action fun thing.
And it was, in action is one of the key component words.
Right.
Because what is in the theme song of Jem? It's action, adventure, fashion, and fame. Jem. That is what she's about.
Right.
So this new movie, it's like just, you know,
stupid.
These girls who are orphans, I'm sorry, and being taken care of by some woman,
Right?
Jem. She owns it.
She owned that
she
goddamn orphanage.
She owns that orphanage.
And she owned a business.
Starlight Records. She owned this mansion. That
she
the,
owned Synergy, whatever the fuck that was.
Whatever that was. One time the Misfits, I don't know how the Misfits never ended up in jail in that cartoon. They tried to kill them so many times. They put a bomb in their house. And then when it blew up, they showed up. And then they were like, we're not going to help you clean this mess.
They were
and they
jerks
walked
on
away.
Top of it too. I remember we watched one where they were like at a band concert.
Yeah.
And they kept like cheating at like
they
the
would,
weird like...
Oh, there was at,
like,
an
Olympics.
It was Misfits in Hawaii.
Yes.
And they were in the Olympics.
Band Olympics.
There was the band... You guys know about the band Olympics.
Duh, it happens every year.
It was huge back in the 80s. Band Olympics that were in Hawaii. Oh, yeah, and this was it. The Kimber, who's her sister,
yes.
Who's apparently really good at, like, pogo sticking or something.
Yes.
They were like... They said to the henchmen, they're like, just get rid of her for the competition. So what does he do? He ties her up and throws her in a volcano.
Right. And doesn't the black one get lost in there with her little shawl the whole time?
You mean Shayna?
Shayna wouldn't, like, take her shawl off.
Shayna
like
just bought...
It was like watching Jurassic Park where she wouldn't take her high heels off.
Which, there's a video I'm going to post it. Yeah. I think I might have posted it. It's they redone Jurassic Park, the entire trilogy, and they call it the Heels Edition.
Yes.
Where they put every character in heels. And they're like, with new sound effects. Click, click, yes! Click, click, click. And, like, Jeff Goldblum has these, like... boot stilettos.
Really?
So Kimber gets thrown into the volcano.
Yes.
And they were like, the Misfits were like, we told you just to get rid of her, not try to kill her. But anyway, Jem and the girls rescue Kimber from this active volcano and make it out alive. And Shayna,
right,
has the shawl on the entire
time.
That
shawl, that orange shawl.
Girl was not letting go of that shawl.
Jeez.
She just got it.
I know. In a volcano and everything. Please.
So, if
don't support the movie.
Don't support the movie. That's our whole entire story.
Because it's teenagers getting famous off of YouTube and then a record company trying to change them. That story's been done
we did
a
that.
Million
and
times.
No one's ever changing Jerrica Jem except for herself when she goes, it's showtime synergy. Why? Because Jem Jerrica is an HBIC. She is the head bitch in charge. Yes.
When Jerrica is Jem, does she know that she's Jem?
Yeah.
Then what the fuck?
What? It's fucked up. She's also fucked up. I mean, when you have that much power, you're probably a little fucked up. She's a fucked up person. I love an
anti-hero. She would be a great anti-hero. She actually really is
one of the most original anti-heroes ever. Right. She's not... I mean...
She's not necessarily Jem
is not a good person.
The Orphan is.
Jerrica is a good person.
Oh, yes.
But Jem her is alter like ego, it's like her Sasha fuck. Fierce. Like, yeah. It's... She was doing it before Bay was doing it.
I don't give a fuck. I'm Jem.
Not a good person. So, yes, to answer your question, she does know, and that's why it's really fucked up.
We're watching you, Jem.
Watching you. This is the true story. True story. Of seven strangers picked to live in a house. Find out what happens when people stop getting polite and start getting real. The real world, Minority Corner. That's where we are.
What was the theme song? Did they have a theme song?
There was just like little instruments in the background, like ding da dum bum dum bum. Landon's here. That was in season 5. Oh. They had to start a business. You know what I've been recently doing?
What have you been doing?
I have been going back in time, much like how we are now, and I've been watching old episodes of like Real World and Road Rules.
Man, so many styles, so many people to revisit, so much drama.
Just really interesting, simple sort of television. Yeah. So I want to spend some time in the 90s and early 2000s, and yes. I want to kind of talk about the Real World and Road Rules and where it was and where it is now.
There's no more Road Rules.
Well, spoiler alert.
Sorry!
Well, then I guess I can go home. But I was recently watching one of the first Real World Road Rules challenges.
Yes.
Is Real World Road Rules Challenge 2000. Okay. Remember around the millennium?
But really quick.
Yes.
For anybody who's just flown into America who happened to listen to our podcast and does not know
what
Real World or Road Rules is, Real World, essentially, they pick seven strangers, sexy, informative, great strangers to live in a house.
But they weren't always sexy. Okay, no.
Just for overview.
Backing it up. They just picked seven. The original premise behind Real World was, this is what one of the creators said.
Right.
The original concept and idea, it's sort of like a documentary.
Yeah.
Where they wanted to pick seven people from different parts of the world. Not necessarily the world, but started off in the U.S. States. Who came from different cultures, different backgrounds, and put them in a house and for 5 months just to see what would happen. Like in the original seasons, there was like a girl who was married. Like they would never do that now.
Yeah. Road Rules, they take that and they put them in a Winnebago and give them challenges.
But even worse, this is like Real World, at least you got to kind of hang out in a house, especially the first few seasons. They took your money. They essentially rob you.
What do you mean they took your money?
Road Rules, you don't get to have any money.
That's right. You gotta earn your money by doing those challenges.
Yes. So like,
that's bullshit.
Isn't that kind of crazy?
That's so mean.
So people wouldn't you and you never actually could audition for. You couldn't audition for one show or the other. Mm-hmm. You just auditioned for the general thing, and they put you. So you're either gonna be in this nice little house, air conditioned, or they're putting you on a fucking Winnebago.
I did not know that.
And the original Road Rules like episodes, like they had to like win challenges to like eat. They took their money and their credit card, and you couldn't have any of that stuff.
I must have, like, blocked that out.
It's the first episode. They're like, give us your cash, give us your credit card. So, I mean, like, and if you think about it, it's really cool. It's like 18 to 24-year-olds traveling around the U.S. Yeah. And sometimes their missions weren't, like, this is in the beginning of, like, before reality television is what is today.
Yeah.
Sometimes their missions were just like, you've got to go to a nudist colony and talk to that naked guy in the hot tub. He's got your clue or your next mission. Or, like, he's got a bag of money.
I remember the big conversation that I used to have as a kid. Is which would you rather do? Would you rather do Real World or would you rather do Road Rules?
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably do Road Rules if they didn't have like weird height challenges where you had to like bungee.
And there's always some like weird sort of like skydiving sort of mission
which
and
is,
stuff.
No.
So going back, was created by Mary Ellis Bunim, who died actually in 2004. And we're going to get to that because a lot of things started to change in 2004.
Right.
But Jonathan Murray, who is still alive, it was created by them. And he said a lot of actually the premise was really honestly about getting these seven strangers and creating conflict in some way. In some way, in like their casting, seeing an idea of like, all right, friction. These two people are probably not going to get along and let's put them in. And they did do a lot of like probing questions and sort of like, and there are certain rules too. You're not allowed to talk about what is discussed in your interviews with your other castmates.
Oh, interesting.
You can't, it's kind of like, there's a process there.
Yeah.
But they might sort of instigate it like, hey, Aneke, I heard James said he doesn't really like your blue sweater.
Fuck that guy. Yeah, give me the testimonial.
Yeah.
Also, I have a very close, good relationship. You might know this person who went through the audition process to get on Real World. And
are you talking about me? Yeah. We already know that. I almost made it onto the Real World Denver. But we're so far away from Real World Denver, we're going to work our way sort of through there. Okay. But in the beginning days of the Real World and Road Rules, there was really...
did it start?
Started, I think, in 1992 was the first one. Yes.
Oof, early
and
90s.
They were, it was in New York. And they had, like, one of the most infamous fights was between this girl, woman, Julie, and Kevin Powell.
Yes,
they
remember.
This huge conversation, this argument about race, racism.
Yeah.
And it was like, and nobody knew, like, this is before, I mean, the camera, no one knew what the Real World was.
Or reality TV.
What reality TV was at all. And even Norman was, like, Norman had the first gay, Real World broke so many bounds. Yeah. This guy Norman on it, he had the first gay kiss on it. And when he is in his initial interviews, and this is 1992, there's no Ellen DeGeneres out.
There's still a scare for AIDS right now.
Absolutely. And there's not a lot of people, there's no out visual celebrities or anything like that.
No.
There's no Michael Sam. There's none of that, you know?
Maybe
we're
RuPaul.
So far away. But that's like a very drag version of that. So actually when he did his interview, Norman, he was like, I'm gay. But then when he showed up at the house, he was like, hey, I'm bisexual. And so to watch him, you know, these guys are like 18 to 24, go through that sort of process and journey. Heather B was on there. She was an up-and-coming rapper.
Right, I remember
her. Absolutely great. She was also on the Real World Road Rules Challenge 2000.
I remember that.
And you just had, like, you know, in the second season, you had Tammy, who had an abortion on the show.
That's right. And her jaw was
wired
shut.
She wired her jaw shut to lose weight.
That's terrible.
Oh, the 90s.
The 90s were crazy.
But she was battling things with, like, you know, self-esteem and things like that.
Right.
You had... David was the first person to get kicked off.
Because he, like, dragged that woman across his
Tammy.
Floor.
He dragged her. She was in her panties. And they kicked her. They were having some problems and issues with him.
That was in LA, right?
That was in LA. You also had, even as you work your way up further through, like, the seasons, and what was really interesting is that, for me, it was the first time I got to see, like, a diverse group of people come together.
Interacting.
And that was part, Jonathan Murray said, in some ways, they became their own worst enemy. Because... Mm-hmm. Back then, it was a lot of conflict to have different people from different walks of life together.
Right.
But now, because there's a little bit more interaction, to a certain degree, people aren't as, like, stunned of, like, Aneke, you're a black woman? Like, I don't understand.
It's
who
weird.
Are you? But, like, so we kind of grew up with this. So
yeah.
And if you think about, like, look how I feel like I got to learn. I mean, I learned so much about, I remember watching Dan season 5. And, like, he was gay.
Was that Miami?
That was Miami.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
That was a good one.
That was such a good one. But even going back further.
Yeah, my favorite was San Francisco. That's the first one I watched with my dad. We watched it episode by episode. And we would go to the places that they went to. It was very father-daughter bonding.
That's so cool. It's so far. I grew up in 45 minutes away from San Francisco, and it still felt like... so far away.
Oh. But yeah, it was cool.
But I grew up watching my mom and my brother and I grew up watching Real World New York. Started off, like, then.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they also had Pedro, which was the first person on TV.
That was HIV positive.
Yeah. And what a huge ordeal sort of that was and sort of that story. London.
He cried. It was so sad.
London was boring.
London was boring. Except that one guy got his tongue bitten off.
Neil. Yeah. Neil got his tongue bitten off. And then Miami was really interesting because it was the first time they were like, all right, we got to give these guys something else to do.
Right,
let's get them a job. Around. And their job was to create a business. And it's so funny. Could you imagine 18 to 24? They're like, we're going to give you all this money, create a business.
They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I mean,
I know.
Couldn't get it together. Season 6, Montana gave they were working at a children's rec center. And what? But do you remember season 6? They were working at a rec center. This person, Montana, she gave one of the kids wine, got fired.
I don't even remember this.
But that was, I think that was one of, and I just always appreciate the diverse of casting.
Oh yeah, they always got a good mix of people.
Yes.
Different places from around the world.
There would even be two black people on there. It wasn't just one. You know, there could be even two queer people on there. Right. And then as you move through and get to season 7.
Is that the Las Vegas one?
No, that's season 12.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's when shit went cray.
Well, but Irene, who we talked about last week.
Yes.
You said that she slapped somebody and she's like, and you saw her stand-up comedy.
Terrible, terrible.
She didn't slap anybody. She got slapped by Steven because she called him a homosexual, and he is gay, but he wasn't out at all on that show. Not at all. But Irene, she has this really interesting article on Vulture that she wrote about her experience.
Oh.
After reading her experience, I think she just really was not right for the show. I wouldn't say she's not a person that I would probably want to hang out with. She kind of like is that too cool for school sort of like.
Her stand-up is terrible.
She shouldn't, like, I'm not surprised her stand-up is terrible. Like, she was just kind of trying to pick apart the process the entire time. And so then the editors were just like, and then they made it look like she left because she had Lyme disease.
Why did she leave?
She left because she didn't want to do the show anymore because she thought it was too fake. And she didn't like that she was being pitted against these other people.
Oh, interesting.
And she just didn't like the experience. She asked her roommate, she said, don't say anything about my leaving, because she wanted them to have to acknowledge that she left because the show was fake.
Right.
But then when they re-edited it, they just made it seem like she left because of her Lyme disease was making her go crazy.
That's insane.
And so that's why Steven slapped her. But Steven slapped her because she had stolen her teddy bear, all this other stuff.
The best part of that scene is when he reaches in, he slaps her. He takes her
door.
But he takes her teddy bear and throws it in the water.
Yeah.
And then you just see the sad
floating teddy bear just staying there. Yeah, it's so interesting. Like she was saying, you know, nobody did anything, that these producers didn't do anything. Like, they just watched her get attacked, and so that she cried a lot. And I think it's kind of a messy situation. I really wish that Steven hadn't have slapped her.
Yeah, that's a little
much.
But
he's obviously dealing with, like, a lot of other...
And he's going through the same pressures that she was going through with the manipulation and all of that stuff, too.
And we actually wouldn't get our first out black gay man on the show until Real World Philadelphia, which I think that was season, like, 14.
Who's that?
We were in college at the time. That's when you went to... You had class with...
That one lady.
Melinda.
Melinda. Or Melanie.
She was
Melody?
Melody. She was stoned all the time, you could tell.
I know. She was nice at school. She was portrayed really weird on the show. So she got scabies.
Oh, that's right. So then... So you have all these... You know, and then even, like... So where I'm going is that, like, now it's a huge sort of booze fraternity culture that is created inside of the Real World.
It is a fucking messy shit show.
And I think, you know, when it first came out, it was enough just to get these people in a house and just see what would happen. They would just have fights about the dishes. They would just...
In San Francisco, one of them was a nurse, so she would, like, go and be a nurse and come back.
They were actually still having their own lives that they were living. And that was enough of, like... But they kept having to create, all right, what do we do next? You know, let's add in the job.
Turn it up a notch.
But Vegas is the one that turned it up a lot. Well, even in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. They went crazy in Hawaii with Ruthie.
But look at how that storyline was treated, though. Because they sent her to rehab, and it was a very serious conversation.
Right.
Whereas now, all these folks should all be all up in rehab. They're all alcoholics.
Every single person on a reality show right now. Well, that's a big one. But a lot of these, like, sit around, do nothing reality shows are just messy, messy, messy.
But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. This is all, it's all part of what they're creating now. So Vegas, like, they just put them in the situation of, like, living in... You're in a hotel, essentially. You're living at the Palms Casino.
Right.
And, of course, if it's right there, and you're 18, 24, you're going to drink. And it was a
go-go
ratings.
Dancers.
And it was a rate. Arissa does on her spare time.
Oh.
I also love, like, the seasons like that. Oh, backtracking season 10, which was two seasons before that, back to New York, we meet my favorite person of Real World ever.
Who's that?
Coral Smith.
Oh, Coral!
Coral Smith, she lives here in the Bay Area. She's very opinionated. And her, she would have very, they would have, there was three black people on that. There was only, there was only three white people on that season.
Which is...
amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, we're not saying that we don't want white people on the show. No, but we just but the love fact that, the diversity. Like,
the diversity, and I love that MTV back then were really going for that.
Right.
The fact that there was I think two black women on the same
That's
season.
Unheard of.
And then in Vegas they had two black women again with Arisa and Irulan.
And they both were half Italian.
They were half Italian. Yeah. Actually, and I think all the three black people on New York were also like half black too. But they would talk about like racism. So that's even back like, you know, season 10, they're still talking about these like prevalent issues.
Right.
Season 13, the son of the Commodores was on there.
Who's that?
His name was, I think, Adam. They were in Paris.
Did I stop watching
Paris
that?
Was kind of boring.
Oh yeah, Paris. That's when I started to fade out.
So
that's where Diem, who we talked about last week, her shitty boyfriend was on Paris.
Like CJ or something. Yeah, he was from Paris. He just had such a terrible, terrible temper. And so then you start to, some more douchebaggery type guys
start
to pop up. So I want to sort of fast forward a little bit to, and like even back then when they would do some of the challenges and they would get Real World and Road Rules to compete against each other, they were still, that was, yeah, when they get Road Rules versus Real World. And they're, this was still at, like, the height before we started voting people fully off of shows, like you have in Survivor.
Right.
And so I... but then when Survivor happened, Road Rules needed to take a turn, and they started voting people, being able to vote people off.
Right.
Even the first time they did it, they actually just got rid of, like, the weakest person.
Right. It turned less from a reality show into a competition reality show.
That's something, because that's what people wanted to start seeing, as opposed to just having these experiences. Like, if you didn't want to go bungee cord jumping, it was okay.
Get out of the Winnebago.
Well, but if you didn't want to go bungee cord jumping, like...
oh, before.
Before.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, Neke, you're not going to get paid today. You're not going to eat. Yeah. Or, like, you just miss out on that life experience.
Right.
So, anyways, fast forwarding to today, there was an incident.
What? The show's gotten crazy now with, like, exes showing up and shit.
My friend was on, that's when they did another San Francisco show. It was here.
Yeah.
It was called, it was The Exes.
Okay.
And my friend who I'd done, like, a commercial with.
Yeah.
Like, long story long, like, I run into her at the gym.
Okay.
And I thought she was shooting a commercial, and then she comes up to me, and then I get attacked by these cameras. These
cameras come
like, up into my face. And I'm like, oh my God, she was saying that she was auditioning for The Real World. I had auditioned before, got to the semifinals.
Yeah.
I'm too old now.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, I am. True. 18 to 24. Which also you think about, like, that is a crazy age demographic. And also to put an 18-year-old and a 24-year-old in the same house, no wonder they never got along.
Right? And that kind of sucks, because then all the over 21-year-olds would be like, we're going to the bar.
And that was always a set of, like, a conflict. They always put one young person in there who's like, I don't know anything. And the 24-year-old always hates them. Like, that would happen in Key West with Svetlana and Tyler.
Oh, right.
So it's sort of become this sort of, it's grown, and so where it is now, pretty much with the challenges specifically, they're at some exotic location. They're not allowed to have any phones, no books, no music, no anything. And actually, when my friend ran up to me when I was in the gym, her roommates were like, oh my God, is that music you're listening to? We haven't heard music in so long.
They couldn't,
and like,
they can't listen to music. No.
And she couldn't call me, so she gave me her number, and she was like, call the house, we'll go out tonight. And I would have been that guy that, you know, it's on the phone, and then there's an arrow.
Yeah,
that's like
where
pointing.
It's like, James.
So, and then she was like, oh, this is my friend who does, like, the flash mobs. And so then they're like, oh my God, come to the house, teach us how to do a flash mob.
Yeah.
And I was going to go to the house. Like, as soon as I leave the room, the producers are like, so you're going to come over to the house, and you're going to come teach them to do a flash mob. And we're trying to schedule which date.
I remember we had a conversation about this.
But this is, like, how, like, controlled sort of like their environment sort of is. We couldn't schedule it because they were going to go on like a trip to like Mexico for that weekend or something.
Oh yeah, one of their weird
but so they just have no you don't really get to live like a real person anymore because they want you. And when you're on the challenge, this woman Susie, who was on the Real World Australia,
yeah,
She was talking about how there's not a lot of food, but what? There's an abundance of booze.
Of course, because it gets it out of you.
And she was talking about how, yeah, it's this booze-filled fraternity-style lifestyle when you're living in this competition-based living situation. It's all co-ed. You're sharing a room, a giant room with like 8 other people.
Right.
And sometimes there's like, sometimes there's like 20 people in this bungalow.
And they're bored.
And there's like 1 to 2 bathrooms and a lot of booze, open showers.
Just leads to everything.
So Tanya Coolidge.
Yes.
She was from the real world Chicago. When she was on the real world Chicago, she was awful.
Yeah.
She was also racist. She was a racist. She was terrible. She had all these kidney stones. She couldn't do anything. She was engaged to this guy at the same time.
Right?
She was super sort of conservative. And the first time she meets her black roommate, she's like, my first thought was, he's black. She's since grown up a lot. And she was in the foster care system a lot. And she since grew up and kind of, she has a lot of sex. With a lot of the cast members.
Like, I remember that's the big thing on all the challenges.
But it's crazy because in the real world, she didn't do any of that. She never went out. She never went out. And so back in the day, like, it was never about them just being wasted. Like,
right. It was about conversation.
It was about conversation. And sure, they would go out once in a while, but, like, it since has become this thing of, like, they're going out every night.
Sex.
Even in the real world San Diego, there was a case where a girl, 2 months of footage was taken from the police because there was a woman who was in their house and she was raped.
Oh my God.
Not by one of the cast members, but by one of like some guy who came out of this bathroom, date raped her, roofied her, and came out saying, I hit that.
Oh my God.
So 2 months, the police confiscated 2 months of footage, which is why that season That season, there's a new guy who shows up.
Yeah.
Because Frankie leaves. A new guy shows up and then 2 episodes later, it's the finale. And it's like, wait, what?
What? Yeah.
2 months of footage were stolen.
Erased. That's so crazy. So
Tanya Coolidge, she's just known for her antics. And the more Puck realized very early on in San Francisco, the crazy you are, the more airtime you're going to get.
That's why he was so nutso.
And like, the more crazy you are, the more airtime you get because you're so interesting. Barely remember Mohammed or Pam from that season.
I did see Mohammed in Berkeley with my dad, and we got really starstruck.
Aww, I know. He seems like such a sweetheart.
I know, just like a nice regular guy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tanya was recently settled, actually. I think actually a year ago, but she had a sexual assault case against MTV. And MTV and 2 of its cast members, Evan and Kenny, who in the way that they edited all this shit out, but they took it like were harassing her.
Oh my God.
She was wasted. But they were essentially like harassing her and were putting like baby powder in her face, pouring lotion down her back.
Ew.
And everybody also is wasted, not condoning that their behavior is okay.
Right.
And a lot of them have also maybe slept with her and she's, just sort of the butt of like all these jokes.
Yeah, this is already making me uncomfortable.
They took a toothbrush.
Oh no.
And they like, while she was passed out drunk, essentially sexually assaulted her.
That's so fucked up and gross.
And for them, they're thinking like they're like playing a practical joke.
That's so fucked Meanwhile, up and gross.
MTV is just continuing to film.
They didn't do anything?
They didn't even tell her about it. She had to find out from another cast member.
Oh my God.
Yes. She didn't find out from another cast member. But they did replace the other guy, the person's toothbrush. They, like, replace the person's toothbrush.
So they're nice to the person with the toothbrush, but then totally, absolutely disgusting fucked up. Yeah. Tanya.
So.
Oh, my God.
And so Tanya actually ends up getting kicked off that season because she got in a fight with Veronica, who I've met. Veronica was on Road Rules Semester at Sea. Veronica, they used to do these campus college tours.
Oh, that's right.
But I actually met her at Pride. She was hawking t-shirts with her sort of on-again, off-again girlfriend, because sometimes Veronica's bi, sometimes she's not.
Yeah.
Did you know Coral was, like, Coral had a baby.
What?
But Coral was, like, she was a lesbian last time I heard.
Yeah, I thought that she was a lesbian.
She has a baby now.
Well, was it through IVF, maybe?
Actually, I don't know. Oh. So one of the cast members told Tanya, like, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And so then Tanya, and everybody kind of knew that this is what happened. How and Veronica made anything? Veronica, like, made a comment about it. They were like about something and Tanya lost it and like slapped her and punched her repeatedly.
Wow, oh my God.
Got thrown off. And but Tanya believes that like she was kind of pushed off the show.
Yeah.
Because she kept making all these like comments and awareness about it.
Right.
And so I mean, thing is like how far that show has gone, and that's kind of actually the norm, and like that sort of fraternity sort of atmosphere, booze filled atmosphere of that. If you look back to the original series and the original Road Rules, that just wasn't even there.
Not at all.
And I really had a good time even watching the Challenge 2000, which was 15 years ago, where it's like sometimes their challenges were actually just really simple. They just had to like stay in a padded cell for the like longest time or something.
See, that's, I feel like that's more of like the wholesome kind of.
Yeah. Or they played flag football and like it was in the mud. And I just like how much they had to try to stay with where the times were.
Right.
And how I feel like the show used to actually really be about something. And I feel like I got to learn about other people, other cultures, and see other people's experiences or see different parts of the world, see other different parts of like the city.
Yeah.
And I actually, so how those conversations still could and should happen today.
Exactly. So I have a question about myself. I've lost interest in the real world. Like, I just don't watch it at all anymore. And I wonder, is that because I'm getting older or is that because they're losing touch?
I wonder that too. And I guess I'm realizing that too, like, because I have such a nostalgia sort of thing.
Right.
I guess we're really not the demographic for this anymore.
That's true.
But back in the day, if you think about it, honestly, the demographic for a show like The Real World would actually be like from high school to probably like people in their 30s, because where else were you going to see young people interacting?
Having conversations.
But now it's sort of, there's so much young entertainment. There's so many different networks. There's so many different
avenues
and stories that they don't have to just, they're just trying to compete.
Yeah.
But I will say like after 2004, especially since Mary Alice Brenham died, Road Rules was canceled shortly after that.
Really?
The ratings for it was going down, but and they started creating crazier challenges where before it'd be like, oh, hot tub with the naked guy.
Yeah.
It would be like, hold this bowling pin while trapezing while these pigeons peck your eyes. And I tell you this, by the time they got to the last episode, there was not an original cast member. They had to vote off because they had to vote everybody off.
Oh my God.
And get new people on the show.
That's so crazy.
I
wish they would do a return of the old Real World.
Keep it simple. I would tune in for that.
I would
love just to see people having conversations and experiences. Sometimes it's like, oh my God, my parents are in town. Oh no.
Right. What are we gonna do? They're so crazy.
Or maybe I'm a little hungover, but it wasn't so much the entire focus was like,
drinking.
We went out. We had sex. We went out. We had sex. It was like, who didn't do the dishes?
Exactly.
And that's real shit.
And I think a lot of kids, like teenagers, since I've worked with teenagers for 4 years, would really appreciate watching people who are slightly older than them having real conversations, learning about how to live in the world. Like, I would watch The Real World as, like, a teenager and think, like, oh, that's what it's going to be like when I get older, when I go to college.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But looking at, like, when I got into college and I was watching it then, that's when it started to change a little bit, and I was kind of like,
Do you think, I was trying to find statistics about this, do you think it's because, is it reflecting how the culture has changed? Our generation's now just drinking a lot more.
I say no, because I think that they're drinking the same amount, just they kept it more taboo and undercover before.
And yeah, I could see that.
Because there was hella drinking in the 70s, hella drinking in the 80s, a lot of cocaine in the 80s.
Right, so people still, even on the real world then, were drinking. But when they were editing it, they weren't necessarily promoting it.
Right, and they
but
weren't
they also
pushing it
weren't pushing
either.
It as much either. Like, they were still going out, because, they're 18 to 24.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the main focus and the push. And because now people go on there and know that's the climate and that's the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
They go on there and they're like, fucked up.
Yeah. And then also they're casting more of like the...
Those
like,
types of people.
Exactly. Whereas like if you're more of a mellow but conversation intriguing type of person, they'll probably pass you over for the drunken idiot.
Probably. I wanted to leave us on a note of where are they now? I wanted to focus on some of the black folks that have been on The Real World.
Okay.
Kevin Powell, who was in The Real World New York,
they had
the huge conversation about racism with him and this woman named Julie.
Yeah.
He is actually, I think he became a senior staff writer for Vibe and became a political activist after several unsuccessful runs in New York's 16th congressional district. But he ran for office.
Oh.
Sean, well, he's not black, but Sean from the Railroad Boston.
That's right.
He's a congressman.
He's like an actual congressman now.
Yeah.
Because I know that and he's running.
He's a Republican. Well, but, you know, and he's married to Rachel from Railroad San Francisco. They have 7 kids.
7?
They met on the first Railroad Road Rules All-Stars. It wasn't...
What?
It was the Railroad All-Stars where they put a bunch of railworlders in a Winnebago and said, go for it. Now you get to do it.
Oh,
that was sort of the first sort of challenge.
Yeah, where they're like, oh, let's mix it up a little bit.
And they actually started by... It was them versus the Railroad Australia. And that was when they first started being like,
I remember that.
Do you remember when the Road Rules had to steal Miami's... Magic. They had to steal their 8-ball from their pool table.
No.
One of the missions for the road rules was they had to sneak into the Railroad Miami's house and steal their 8-ball. And so it was always interesting when they got had little crossovers.
I love that. It's probably why we like the Marvel Universe so much.
We love good crossover.
I know.
Heather B. She she was a rapper. She had a lot of money stolen her from her. She had Tammy. She is on Basketball Wives.
That's right. She's on Basketball Wives. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, she's still doing a reality thing.
David, who pulled the blanket off Tammy and almost revealed her panties.
Bad. Awful.
But then Beth instigated and was like, you raped her. And it was like,
wasn't
Beth has always been this weird instigator. Mm-hmm. He was supposedly maybe in the Scary Movie 3, but maybe not. I don't know.
I didn't watch it.
I did. I just watched it recently and I didn't see him.
You didn't
him
see him?
It.
Oh, no.
Camila is reportedly, she was in the Railroad Boston. She's reportedly a doctor.
Which one's Camila again?
She was in Railroad Boston. She didn't get along with Montana. She was really good friends with Genesis, the lesbian.
I think I'd probably have to see her face and then I'd know who she was.
Tech had a period of time of being Tech from Hawaii.
Oh, he was big deal for a minute.
He really wanted to be famous. That was his whole entire thing.
Wasn't he like a he did some MTV movies. VJ too?
He did, and he's since kind of his career sort of like died out a little bit.
Well, he was very 90s with his bleached hair.
David Scooby Doo Bop Doo Bee.
Oh yeah.
Scooby Doo Bop Doo Boo.
Oh, I forgot about David.
Come on, be my baby tonight.
Come on, be my baby tonight.
Please go watch videos of David singing and Scooby Doo Bop Doo Boo.
He's, come on, be my
he had an amazing
baby.
Voice, terrible songwriter.
Terrible.
He has this YouTube channel, Google Chef Showtime.
Uh-oh.
It's him singing, because he's also a good chef, it's him singing like how to make his like corn, and he's like,
that sounds like something I would do.
Put the butter on it. Lick it off, girl, put the butter on it. Biscuits in your gravy. And it's him, and David also had a hot body, so it's him shirtless, so it's super sexy.
That's basically me pantless in my living room doing everything. I'm watching TV on this couch right now. Gonna scratch my butt. Going to the kitchen. What do I have?
There's Malik, who he was on the Railroad New York, had the huge hair.
Yes.
He went to UC Berkeley and now works in Oakland.
Oh. Coral, I might run into you. I'm sorry. Coral, you have a normal size face.
Coral also is here in the East Bay. Too. She's over in the East Bay.
Where in the East Bay, though?
I don't
know. So I can judge.
But she just had a baby. She used to go on the challenge a lot, and she was actually really competitive, and she would do a lot of great stuff. Can I read you some Coral quotes?
Yes, read some Coral quotes.
One of my favorite Coral quotes is when Julie tried to fight her on the challenge, and she was like, Julie was like, I want to wrestle you. And she's like, I don't wrestle. I beat bitches up.
Yeah! I need that embroidered on a pillow.
Oh, God. Coral said her and Mike, who are now really good friends, Mike the Miz. He's now the Stubby D.
He's weirdly, like, endearing to me.
He in the show, he grew up a lot. Like, he was, like, you know, young then, but Coral used to school him on all his, like, he had a lot of internalized racism.
Right, but
she
he
would challenge
seemed like
him
he was
on
open
it.
To, like...
Because he would even say, he's like, well, my uncle says, and she's like, your uncle's a racist. And he was like, no, he's not, but Coral doesn't play.
I love Coral.
She one time said to him, I do what I please, and I please to do what I do.
That.
Because
right.
She like was shutting down a conversation
okay,
with him. And then, let's see. She said to Hasela, because Hasela was saying all this mean shit about Malik. And it was caught on camera.
This is Return to New York, right?
This is Return to New York.
I thought so. This was a drama season.
Yeah, because they all met. They brought 25 of the cast members to a house before they...
Right.
For
they
part of the auditions.
Yes.
So they all kind of knew each other beforehand.
It was weird.
She said, Hasala, get off the hoe train, okay? Because you're the only one on it.
Oh my god, so good. Get off the hoe train.
Coral's one of my favorites. And then there's Karamo, who was Realwood Philadelphia. He was the first out. They had two gay men on Philadelphia.
That's awesome.
They had Willie, who was Puerto Rican, and then Karamo, who was black. And yeah. He was just processing it all. Yeah.
Oh, he was newly out, wasn't he?
He just came out,
That's right. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Oh, real world, come back to me.
And go back to your roots.
Yes. Oh, you know what they should do?
Hmm.
And this is just me being an old person wanting to see other old people do this. They should take some old real world members, put them in a house, have them leave their families or whatever they do for like a couple of months and see how that plays out with their weird old styles and see if they've grown, see if they haven't changed.
And just put them in a house. Don't have them like having to compete with
stuff. Yeah, no, just film them. No music, no TV, no jobs. It will get real fast because old people are cranky.
It would be really interesting to see that. But I don't know who would really go on it. Susie, who she wrote this article saying how the real world road rules, it's like an ex-boyfriend where you know you're better off without them.
Yeah.
But they call you and they tell you, like, she would get seduced. She's done 5 challenges.
Wow.
And she's like a mom now. And, like, she would get to do, they'd be like, you're really great. We love your energy. I think you can really win this challenge. And they'd woo you back. Like,
of course they do. Producers know exactly what to say.
She said that some guy tried to like get into like her bed and she punched him and everybody thought she should have been kicked off, but they had filmed it. And so they couldn't spin it any other way if she had been kicked off. And the people were like, if you didn't come here to party, why'd you come here on the show?
Oh my god, that's like the most broiest thing that you could ever say to anybody.
So that's sadly just where I feel like the show is gone.
Yeah, it's definitely gone down.
But you can all go back on YouTube. All the old school episodes are out there. And I highly encourage you to go back because if the right person has filmed it, you'll get commercials for like, up next in the 10 spot, Daria.
Yes!
Making the video with P. Diddy and Christina Aguilera.
I loved making the video.
LFO.
LFO. I like girls in Abercrombie and Fitch.
Chinese food makes me sick. Racist. Music corner.
Music video corner.
Ugh, remember, I miss music videos.
I know. So one other reason, I guess this is basically like MTV nostalgia.
Well, it makes sense. I'm going to be honest. MTV raised me.
It was huge.
I learned everything about like sex, like
TV shows. By the time that we were growing up, okay, so we are around the time of, I would say from 19, I'm going to make a big scope. So, like, 1996 to 2006. That's a big enough scope to put us in the middle of, right?
What do you mean?
Like, our
of when
formative
we were watching,
years
formative.
Watching
MTV. Sure.
That 10-year period.
Yeah.
So, it straddles 2 decades, but I think that the 2 decades are very similar.
I would even, like, push it down a little bit even further down. I mean, because, like, my mom was a very young mom, so, like, early 90s was, like, already up in it.
I just feel like early 90s has a different feel than that mid-90s... early 2000s, though.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's very much, like, a style.
But, and I feel like, I mean, MTV used to also be this, like, network that was sticking it to the man, you know? It was the all. It was such an alternative station, and it was so much about, it was a rebellion.
Like youth culture.
There were people who weren't allowed to watch MTV.
Yeah.
Because it was so rebel. I mean, like, with Beavis and Butthead, and, there was a lot of sex on that television screen. MTV was where you went for sexy time, sexy place.
It's
undressed.
True. Undressed. So, okay. So, I wanted to... The reason that I'm bringing up that time space is MTV was around... Started in 1982. I remember that because of the year I was born. And by that point of the mid-90s to the early 2000s, MTV had hit a stride. It wasn't just videos, but it wasn't just TV shows.
And people were even complaining then that they're like, they don't play any music videos.
Right.
And now...
No music videos.
I don't think they have, not even like an hour block of music.
They don't. And they still have that VMAs, which is so weird.
And why are they still... I mean, that M cannot stand for music television even anymore.
No!
And even when it was like shows that were not necessarily... music videos, at least the music, yeah. Like the Real World, they use the music to tell the story.
Right. And Cribs was yes. about artists. Making the video was about the video.
And the music, yeah, so like everything they did was about, it really was music television right. in some way. Like that's also why I think you can't, like there's no DVDs of like Real World or something. Like the music rights, I think are really
yeah,
hard.
Yeah, music rights, yeah, because they would use like blips of songs.
They'd use, yeah, it's what scored all like, yeah. you know.
So, I feel like the music videos of our formative years reached like a creative apex. Like they were mini movies that were out of control, big deal events.
Yeah.
And so I would like to just kind of go over a couple of videos. We'll talk about our thoughts and feelings of them really quick, really simple. And I would like to start with a favorite from both of us.
Is it Scream?
No.
Oh.
It's Mariah Carey, Heartbreaker.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Why get out of here?
Here's my love hate with that entire music exactly, video. That's why you are trapping me in this one.
I am
one.
Giving a little bittersweet right now.
Because we know how that music video was filmed.
How?
Well, because there was a making the video.
I know.
And that's when we discovered that, like, especially Mariah Carey's infamous for this, is that they'll record the music in fast.
Yes.
And then put fans on her. So that way it looks like she's just moving like otherworldly.
I know.
But they play the song fast for her to lip sync to. And then she's got this slow movement to her.
Right. So it takes place in a movie theater.
And she's dressed like a 15-year-old.
Straight up crochet top. Why is she wearing a crochet top?
She's there with her girl. And Mariah Carey has huge titties. Like, huge. I thought they were going to pop out.
You cannot wear a crochet top.
She had, like, a butterfly clip in her
like,
hair.
And she's, like, straight up 35.
She was 35 in the music video. And she was there with, like, her friends. They all look like they're, like, 16 years old.
Right.
To go get her boyfriend in the movie theater.
Who is Jerry O'Connell.
Yes.
Another 35-year-old.
Right, yeah. But they're all playing these high school kids in the movie theater.
So much fun. We're old.
But here's what's the best part of that music video.
You know it, when she busts through the doors, all dramatic.
Okay, they'll go, yes, yeah, absolutely.
There's that, but the second best thing is her fight with herself.
She fights with herself, but you're right. So there's a part, okay. If you look at the music video, it's right before the second chorus, and there's a huge note, and she goes, it's a shame to be.
Yeah.
And then her mouth opens, like, when she's lip syncing
it. A centimeter.
It's like a centimeter.
She's demurely singing this belty ass part of the song, like as demure as a little tiny baby kitty cat.
Kills me every time.
To like a boastful, gut wrenching part of singing.
Who let her? Either
same person who let her wear that crochet top.
The music video is out of fucking control. It is one of the only music videos aside from Honey that she actually is doing choreographed dance a
right.
little bit.
She rocks, just kind of.
She does a little move. So if I were to teach a Mariah Carey dance class, I'd use that.
That would be good. That would be so good. Just a little tiny hip.
It would take 10 minutes. I'd make a dollar. Yeah, that would be it.
But when Jay-Z's
she, fight, when
in that
she
video.
Fights herself, it's amazing.
That's right.
Jay-Z's in the song.
I know, which is weird because he doesn't. You would think that he would be in the video, but he wasn't that big
was,
at that point.
Oh yeah.
She like, was like, was, "I'll just do a cartoon
she's
and
like,
you
I got
rap
this.
Over it."
I'm gonna take a note out of my girl Paula Abdul. I'm gonna do a cartoon of you. No one's gonna know who you
no
are,
one
Jay-Z.
Knows Jay-Z.
No one's gonna know you. He's married to Beyonce. He owns his own, like, record label,
I
like,
know.
Record music title vibe
I
thing.
Know.
What other video?
Another one is J-Lo.
Waiting for Tonight.
If You Had My Love.
Ugh.
The first terrible one ever, where she's basically using computer magic throughout the whole thing.
No one knew.
Nobody knows.
Computer,
it was like internet
like
computer magic.
Or something?
Kind of, where she's like walking around in her fuzzy sweater and then she like looks on the computer and it's like all these different people. Like it goes into their houses.
I fucking hate that song, but I remember I bought the
if
single.
You have my love. I don't know why everybody liked that song.
I
it was
hated,
the worst
no,
song
no.
in the world.
I hated that song, and for some reason, I bought the single, and I had then five different versions of it.
What?
I don't know. I was a kid. I had this like disposable money, and you just bought music. That's what
oh
you did.
God.
You went to Sam Goody.
It's true.
You went to Sam Goody.
You bought your single
went to
the
warehouse,
from the wall.
And you bought the fucking single, and you listened to the same song six different ways, which I recently did with Rihanna's BBHMM.
There's more than one of those?
There's some good versions, and now I'm like, oh, I get it. it. This is nice. Like, it's like having a Rihanna album.
Yeah, but that's
album.
A good song.
It is true. Not If You Have My Love is awful.
The best part of that video is someone's online and they click, like, salsa in, like, terrible blocky, like, green writing, and then it's her salsa dancing, and then it goes.
We had to be reminded that she's like a dancer.
She's a triple threat.
Here's my thing. I'm a dancer. I don't consider. I read this article. It was like the most iconic dancers mm-hmm. of our time, and like it was like Madonna was like number 11.
All right.
Old Britney was number like 7.
These are performers.
I don't know why she was no, but they're saying. Most iconic dancers.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, then Bieber was above Britney.
Get Bieber out of here.
Usher was up there. They didn't put Chris Brown, which was nice. Ciara was, like, number 3. There was no Aaliyah on there.
Did Aaliyah really dance that much?
Are you kidding me? Get yourself out of this room, girl. Aaliyah, absolutely. Aaliyah, that's, like, what she's, for me, what she's really known for.
For dancing?
Oh my gosh, every music video she did, she was dancing in it.
Oh, I must have not watched a lot of Aaliyah videos.
Ugh, that is your homework. So disappointed right
no.
now.
No. I'm thinking dancers as in, like, Misty Copeland or, like...
No, but... Oh, I'm sorry. Most iconic dancers in terms of, like, pop music dancers. I'm like, why are you not riding with me on this ride?
Now I totally get it. Because I was like, they're...
Going back.
There's really good dancers with their profession.
Missy Copeland, you're like Gregory Hines.
Yes!
No. Are you talking about like our
pop performer? Okay, okay. Now dancers. It makes complete sense.
But
okay.
It doesn't make complete
I'm with
sense
you now.
That like Justin Bieber was above Britney.
Yeah, no, get him
and,
out
like,
of there.
Like, there's certain like Madonna I can think of like iconic dances and like choreography. Britney I can think of iconic dances.
Yes.
Aaliyah I can think of
Even
iconic
Beyonce.
Dances. Beyonce was like number 2.
Okay.
Janet was number 1.
Janet's number 1?
She was number 1.
Oh.
Because they were like,
oh,
they're like, they're not going to put
on.
Michael. They were like, Michael already is the king of pop.
Yeah,
we're not going to touch it.
Yeah.
But I just was like really like surprised. And then, oh, no, J-Lo was number 2.
She's not a dancer. I mean,
but
she
is
a fly
is a
girl.
That's the sad thing is that like she is a dancer.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't call her iconic. I just like, she dances like a backup dancer.
I was going to say she's a chorus line member.
She's a chorus line girl.
She's a chorus line
so she
girl.
Blends in.
Yeah.
Whereas like Beyonce and Janet and
up
Britney
front.
And Madonna, they pop out.
Right.
Because they make it their own a little bit.
Exactly.
They're like, they're not so technical.
Exactly.
So, and J-Lo, I want to talk about this.
Yeah,
her
bring
fucking
it up.
Butt.
J-Lo and that booty.
I love that booty. I loved it before you loved it.
I know.
I get so upset, like, because now big booties are like the big thing now, even though like, Black folks have had big booties forever,
forever,
and everyone tried to make us feel terrible for it.
Freak shows,
weird. But now everybody wants to fucking love it when a white girl has like a big booty, or and so like it's so interesting. Like, had J-Lo just like
embraced her booty,
she could have pushed this line
mm-hmm.
so much further ahead. And now she's jumping on board, and it just is sort of like a sad attempt for me to stay relevant by now making this video that's 10 years, 15 years
well,
too late.
I mean, to give the... During the time when she had this music out, she was, like, booty queen then. But during
she
her
would
acting...
hide it.
Her acting career and all of that, she would hide it.
She would hide it.
But...
She was, like... She was almost, like, ashamed. She was, like, don't shoot me from, like, up here.
Oh, I thought that she was kind of into her butt a little bit in the...
She was, like... Because people would make jokes and she wasn't, like, having it. So, for me, Jenny from the Block can go back to the block.
Go back to the block. Find your roots.
Find your roots. Give me another one. One more.
I'm between a couple. Okay,
we'll
Flash.
We'll just rattle off
well, Flash.
Really quick.
Britney Spears, I'm a Slave for You.
Ugh, changed everything.
They were like writhing on the ground.
Yeah. Can you believe
it?
It's
almost
it's,
too sexy.
Well, it's actually like now at the time when I was a kid and I would look at like Britney and Christina and you know, like, Fox News would be like, these young girls, it's too sexy. And now I look back and I'm like, it was.
It was.
She was like a 19-year-old. At the time,
know.
It was like, no, this
is
fine.
Just being free.
This is just being...
I'm like
don't...
clutching my pearls.
Christina Aguilera was wearing
that
a
dirty-ass fucking video.
And
dirty.
Chaps. And she looked dirty.
She was in dirt rolling around.
She performed live in that same outfit.
So nasty.
It was just like this like leather sort of like bra.
Bikini top.
The bikini bottoms.
Teeny tiny.
Vagina almost like popping out saying hi. Basically popped out. And then she's like wearing chaps. And then she's singing. And I was like, oh my God, these girls were essentially just strippers with voices.
I know. It was ridiculous.
Because it's not like there's some guy, but like, oh, no, I'm sorry. It's some guy saying, hey,
wear this. You could do that. I know. It's
because you know that women are not the ones in running this industry because this... Women will be sexual, but it'll be in a, come in a different way.
It's a different type of... It's not so overtly, aggressively sexual. Yes.
Like, Britney did strip her clothes off in front of everyone.
She ripped her fucking thing off for a nude sparkle suit.
I know.
I can't even believe it. I've watched some of those videos, and I'm just like, how...
But at the time, I would go to bat for those girls to be able to do it. Yeah, we'd be
like, let them do it. It's their sexuality.
Don't be afraid of sex. And like, she wore... And like, Slave for You, they're like panting and licking at her.
They're literally in a pile.
A cuddle puddle.
A sweaty cuddle puddle. And like, licking and writhing and being like, that's a part of the song.
I'm a slave for you. But she was like, it means the music. And...
Oh. Yeah, it means as you're parading around with a giant snake around your neck. That snake is a dick.
And then the music video, she had the pink panties outside of her jeans.
Why was that a trend?
I'm all in one. Oh, it wasn't just panties, it was a thong.
That's so weird.
And the thong song.
Thong, the thong. Cisco, where's Cisco?
He's about to be in that Backstreet Boys, Nick Lachey. They're doing, it's called the Dead Seven. It's happening.
It's Joey happening.
Joey Fatone's on board. AJ McLean's on board. Nick Carter's on board. We're still waiting to hear back from Scary Spice.
It should be called the Sad Seven. I'm sorry. Just go into the night.
Do you know that Cisco, in the making of the video, I'll never forget this, he was like, we're creating the next Thriller here.
Oh my God, which one was that? Was thong that for song? The thong song? Yeah, because yeah, there wasn't
he
like...
He was like, we're making Thriller here.
So epic.
Video's weird.
People love that shit, though. That song was like the summer jam.
We just sing and it repeats. The thong. It's summertime. When's the last time you heard thong song? I play it for my students for warm-up.
Oh, I'm not a dancer.
To take them back.
That's good. Bring it back.
One more.
Oh, there's so many.
Oh, do it.
Janet Doesn't Matter, our favorite.
This is her,
why did you do that?
Because it makes me think of, like, Kyoko.
Yeah, I know. That's why I love it so much. It's her, like, totally appropriating Japanese culture.
Yes, but when Janet does it, I always feel like it's okay. For some reason, like, when, like...
I love how you're totally... You are a Janet Jackson apologist.
Oh my God. I mean, I still defend Britney to this day.
Even if it's like in like a fucking opium den. It is so fucked up when you look at it.
Because you can tell like once she had gone, she'd already done a Rhythm Nation tour and she had then done a world tour and saw how much they love her.
Yeah.
That's what happens a lot with artists when they go overseas.
Oh, and they see where they love
how
you.
Much like they love you and like they'll do like a lot of like touring stuff over there or it just starts to affect their like work and art. Right. And for me, like when she did it, and then Michael, Michael sometimes do it too.
Michael's weird.
I just assume the Jacksons, I'm like, oh yeah, they're kind of Asian-y. I don't know. Like,
I'm gonna let that just remonate in the air a little bit. Just like.
It's so weird. I just never questioned it.
In Europe.
Because
in
they're so
Asia.
Popular over there. I'm like, that's okay.
I like to hope that Janet Jackson understood causes and stuff. I just thought it was. It's the weirdest video of my life.
She's in Japan, and
she has a pet weird robot dog. And
she's
like
also kind of playing
dance.
The part of like, you know, a 20-year-old girl.
And she's also like 43.
She was maybe like 38 then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was around All For You and she was like 38.
Yeah. It's a good ass song. And I also love it because it makes no sense because it's spliced with...
The Nutty Professor.
Right?
Remember back in the day where music videos were also just promotions for whatever movie was happening?
They didn't even try and tie it in.
Nope. And even Aaliyah, Are You That Somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Just has pictures of the Nutty Professor one.
I know, it's so weird.
Both have that theme.
The other one where it was Romeo is Dead was more of like a theme for the movie.
Because Romeo Must Die, supposedly took place here in Oakland.
What?
Yeah,
what
you didn't know that?
Part of Oakland did it take place
Romeo Must Die took place in Oakland.
I'm going to have to watch that again.
And there's a part where like they're at this building. You know that very tall building? There's a very tall building around Lake Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
An apartment complex, and someone supposedly gets pushed out of it and falls in the lake. But you can't have that happen because it's too far from the lake.
I gotta watch it. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, so good.
Oh, so good. Last one.
Okay.
D'Angelo. sexy. How does it feel?
I'm kind of touching myself right now thinking about it.
Oh, God. I'm sitting right across from you.
Watch me.
No, stop it.
How does it feel? What's the huge scene? Walk us through, for those of you who have not seen this music video, what's happening in it?
Simple shot. Black background. D'Angelo standing there, shirtless, slowly singing.
His
to
body
you
is on point.
As it panned down. That's it.
Oh, wasn't he getting a blowjob in that music video?
No!
Yes, he was.
Nobody, you can't see shit. And it just goes to the point where you see his little crevices on his hips.
But, like, yeah, like, the whole entire music video shot up from the crevice of his hips.
No, it's going down.
When's the last time did you just watch this recently? I swear to God, it's just him. My brother always told me that it was him getting a blowjob because he's going. But you, it's right.
Your brother's nasty.
No. Because you can't see it.
He's not getting a blowjob.
Yes, he is, because when he's going, because
he's getting into the song.
No, and that kid, you're.
I would
precious
be pissed
mind.
If I was giving a blowjob. Oh, go I hope
back.
That I'm related to. Never mind. I'm taking it back.
Go Somebody back and look at that video and think about him getting a blowjob. All right, y'all. This is you can. Who's right? Who's right?
Neke
who's
or wrong? James?
Tweet
D'Angelo.
At us. We're going to collect votes and find out next week.
Is D'Angelo getting a blowjob?
Yes or no?
He's just enjoying himself being naked,
singing. He's getting a blowjob and enjoying himself being naked and singing. He climaxes at the end.
He's just enjoying the music.
You're so cute.
I refuse.
You'd be like that young girl in the real world.
No, I wouldn't. I would be the realistic one that's like, if he was getting a blowjob, he wouldn't have time to sing.
But that's it. It's like, a metaphor. Oh my God. It's a metaphor. It's called acting. It's a metaphor. You can see the climax and everything.
Well, that was great.
We'll find out. Thanks for the music videos.
Yeah.
Now I'm sad because MTV is not what it used to be.
I know.
Remember Rockin' Jocks? Where they would get like celebrities to play like softball against.
Yes!
Those were amazing.
That was kind of like a company picnic a little bit.
And that's what I loved seeing. It was like a company picnic. And it was just crazy and weird. It was just so
there
MTV.
There's so many good shows on MTV that needs to come back. VH1. I'd even take VH1 back.
VH1 at one point kind of became what MTV used to be.
Right. And then it turned into what Bravo is now.
Now Bravo is just a mess.
I know, Bravo is a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly.
But because remember, VH1 used to be the reality.
It was celeb reality, which is fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
And then now.
And now it's just Basketball Wives and Love and Hip Hop.
I guess we've gotten old.
Yeah.
Wow, this whole nostalgia episode has been very depressing.
No, it's not. It's good.
You're right. It's great to reminisce and all of this stuff. Thank God for YouTube. It's all on the internet.
It's good. And to all the young people out there that think that you're going to live forever and enjoy your style forever.
You won't. You're
going
to get crotchety and grumpy and wishing for the past and thinking that these kids today are too drunk.
You're going to be embarrassed about what you wore.
And I'm not sure if things were too sexy now or too sexy then.
I wore a lot of baggy clothes, but a lot of crop tops.
Oh, that was the thing.
Yeah.
Show that stomach.
I would take like tank tops and cut off the bottom. Because that
like,
was
I don't
like,
need this.
Yeah, and like a colored bra. But then really baggy pants.
Interesting.
That's a good look. Maybe I'll wear it tomorrow.
Well, all right. Well, that's it for Minority Corner
this
week.
That was fun.
Welcome
back.
Thank you. It was so great. We'll see y'all.
We're back in the present now.
We're back in the present. That was super fun. We'll see y'all next week.
Remember to tweet us.
Yes.
Minority Corner with a K at Twitter. Facebook us. Subscribe on iTunes to Minority Corner.
Yeah.
And then what's the last one? Just get in the conversation.
Get involved in the conversation. Like Lily Tomlin said.
La, 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 la.
See y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.